Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Andrew Shatkin Show, the Blog Talk Radio Show, on every weekday and weekend, either at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11, and you will get in this show nothing but the facts and nothing but the truth, and that's all you will get. You will not get media lies, you will not get media falsehoods, you will not get the big lie, you will not get political rhetoric. I'd like to, before I begin, I want to tell you what I'm going to talk about. That is the bandied about talked about topic when people claim they are spiritual. They may not adhere to any particular religious tradition, but they claim to be spiritual. So I'm going to try to grasp and explain to you perhaps the misleading character of this term. It's essentially a meaningless piece of vocabulary. And now I will speak to you about the prongs of this show. The prongs are threefold: literary, Christian, and political. They're literary in the sense that I adhere to the great books of the Western world, such as Milton's Paradise Lost, E.M. Foster's A Passage to India, and C.S. Lewis, and many, many others that I can, too numerous to enumerate. They are the great thinkers of the world. And these are the people I love and respect and cherish beyond belief. I also, this is a Christian show, and as I say, I adhere to the creeds of the church, Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed. I adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I welcome all faiths and all ideas and all thoughts and all races and all nations. These are the people that Jesus died for and gave and cast his life down on the cross in his love for all mankind. Gay, non-gay, Christian, non-Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever. These are the people that he loves and cherishes. Third, I have has a political element. I am a conservative in the sense that I oppose abortion and gay marriage, but I have no discrimination intent with respect to women who do have an abortion or to gay people who wish to marry with the same sex. I love them. I know that Jesus loved them, and he died for them, and he wishes that all men be saved and be with him in heaven. That is my view of things. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself. Those are the three prongs of this show. I'm going to talk a little about myself and give you a background, and then I'm going to go into the topic of spirituality. This is a politically incorrect show. We don't go in for political correctness. We don't go in for the big lie. We don't go in for media hype, media falsehoods, or propaganda. We do none of those things at all with anyone. We are not concerned with it, and we do not particularly adhere to the political rhetoric prevalent in our society. And now I have to say that this is a politically incorrect show, not political correctness. We're out for truth and facts, and that's all. Truth and facts and reality and intellectual reality. We are interested in intellectual honesty and honest discernment and getting and knowing and knowledge and thought and intellectual activity. We are not interested in the big lie or propaganda or anything like that or anything resembling that. In addition to being politically incorrect, it's a Christian show. I'm a Christian, and I believe it to be the true faith, 100%, but I don't dislike other faith traditions. I believe Jesus loves them and died for them. Whether Hindu, whether Buddhist, whether Islamic, whoever they are, Christ adheres to them and loves them beyond measure. He died on the cross for all men and women, gay, non-gay, women, men, whoever they are. They're cherished in his mind and love. Next, I'm a political conservative, and that is to say that I oppose abortion and gay marriage, but I don't dislike women or hate anybody. I want no hatred. I want no discrimination. I want everybody included and loved in the eyes and mind of Christ. This is what I want for people. This is what is true and is false, and this is what I adhere to. Next, I have two radio shows. I used to do a podcast show. I don't anymore, but I may resume that activity, and I do have this Blog Talk radio show, which I have many, many visitors from countries all over the world. I've had visitors, over 4,300 visitors from 80 countries to my podcast show. And I've also had many, many Islamic visitors to this Blog Talk radio show, including from, I'm pleased to say, from Saudi Arabia. Many, many people from many countries have visited these shows. And I'm very pleased that they have done that. I welcome them. I welcome all people. And as a Christian, I welcome all people to Christ and his love. Whether Hindu, whether Muslim, whoever they are, I welcome them to his love and his great love and his great concern for all people. Next, initially radio shows, which have a Christian orientation, and I have many visitors from many countries. I also am a writer. I've written 10 books, legal and Christian. The legal books have been Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2, and Christian books such as Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and a book on the Parables, and a book on the Psalms. I recommend reading the Parables or reading the Psalms. You don't have to read my books about them. That's not important. But read the Parables and read the Psalms, because the Parables are the mind and thoughts of the Son of God. They have great intellectual value, and I, for one, cannot stop reading them. There are 41 of them Gospels. They are well worth reading and reflecting on. As this is also true of my book on the Psalms. It analyzes all 150 Psalms, The Psalms are great, great spiritual treasures. They are great lyric poetry, Hebrew lyric poetry, which I read in seminary. They are of great value, a literary value. They are great Hebrew lyric poetry. I can't stop reading them on that basis. And they are spiritual food on another basis. They represent the truths of Christ and God 100%. I can't stop reading the Psalms as spiritual food, as truth, as insights, and as, most of all, they are great literary treasures in the Hebrew tongue. I read them in seminary, and I have read I memorized the first, second, and 23rd Psalm in my youth in Sunday school. And also, I've written other books. I'm writing a book on the Psalms, the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter of that. I'm writing books on the blogs in my website. These blogs are four blogs of philosophical, theological, and literary, and they are great blogs. And these blogs are going to be formed into books. There'll be four books of them. I do hope you enjoy them when they are published, ladies and gentlemen. I enjoy writing them, because I enjoy writing, and I have to say that a world without books is a world descending into darkness and ignorance, this is our present society, darkness and ignorance, unless it's stopped and we reinstate the great books in our curriculum and give them to our children and make our children great and whole as they deserve to be. I've also written a book on paternity, a chapter on paternity in New York Family Law and Practice. I've written a book on evidence, Res Gestae, in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written an encyclopedia article in New York Jurisprudence in Criminal Law Demands and Notices. And I've written four very, very, I think, insightful law review articles, which include Syracuse Law Review, Criminal Procedure, bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. I've also written two articles for Academicus, which is a Albanian scientific journal in in sexual orientation discrimination, I oppose it. That I oppose any kind of discrimination. I wrote this law review article on it in Academicus. I've also written a law review article in Academicus about the United States educational system, analyzing its defects and urging our society to bring our children to the great books, to the books of all time: Dickens, Thackeray, Keats, Shelley, Byron, Swinburne. They're all great. They're all the greatest. Conrad, George Eliot. These are some of the books that our children should read and should be introduced to. The Brontes also. Whatever these books I'm talking about, these are the books that will raise our culture beyond its present nadir, which we are involved in. Next, I'm going to talk about the bandied about term spirituality. The other day I had a brief conversation with a neighbor of mine in front of my condominium building, and I mentioned to her that I was proceeding to a church service, and her response was, "Well, I'm very spiritual." I intend no criticism of this person who made this comment, but I don't entirely understand what she meant by this, and I also find that the use of the term has little meaning and misunderstands the nature of religious belief. So, as I say, I told her I was going to church, and her response was, "I'm very spiritual." And I make no criticism of this person who made this comment, but I have to say, my dear friends, I do not exactly understand what she meant by this, and I also find that the use of this term, spiritual, has little meaning and misunderstands the nature of religious belief. What my nature meant here, probably, was that, like most people, she had some vague sense of the what she termed spiritual or transcendent. In some sense, that feeling of otherworldliness, transcendence, or spirituality is the beginning point of religious belief of some point. It is the beginning point of seeing something beyond ourselves, our own immediate selfish concerns, and the material world and our daily activities in it. So what my neighbor meant here was, like most people, she has some kind of vague sense of the transcendent or spiritual. And in some sense, that feeling of otherworldliness, transcendence, or spirituality may be the beginning of religious belief. It certainly is the beginning point of seeing something beyond ourselves, our own immediate selfish concerns in the material world, and our work in it. But unfortunately, spirituality, which she was referring to, this vague sense of otherworldliness, transcendence, seeing something beyond ourselves and our immediate selfish concerns in the material world, this is not the Christian belief system. In Christianity, this is the key to understanding this faith. Jesus states that belief and faith in him alone is the only way and route to eternal life. Jesus makes many claims on our minds and consciousness. Spirituality or transcendence or seeing something vaguely Christian, vaguely religious in our system is not the Christian belief system. In Christianity, Jesus states that belief and faith in him alone is the only route to eternal life. Jesus makes many claims on our minds and consciousness, and the main claim is that he says that faith in him is the only way to have eternal life. He claims, if not to be God, which is his main claim, he claims to be God, which is the key to his claim. He claims to have a connection with God. He tells us that he is the only way and there is no other. He makes this claim. He claims to be God. He claims, if not to be God, then have a connection with God. He tells us that he is the only way and there is no other. He tells us that on the cross our sins are forgiven, that he rose from the dead, something that no one else has ever done in history, and that by following him and his teachings, We will be remade and regenerated as persons in his image. This is what he means by sonship. He offers us a... Let's take a look at what Jesus says. He says that faith in him is the only way to have eternal life and to get to heaven. He makes other claims on our minds. He claims if not to be God, then to have a significant connection with God. He tells us that he is the only way and there is no other. He tells us that in the cross our sins are forgiven. That he rose from the dead, something no one else has ever done in history, and that by following him and his teaching, we will be remade as persons in his image, which is what he means by sonship. He offers us a higher ethical standard, standards that are almost impossible to fulfill, such as loving our neighbor or ourselves without the possibility of return from that person. He commands us to give away our goods and live in poverty. He says the poor and poor in spirit are blessed. He tells us the meek will inherit the earth. He says many, many things, and they are not about spirituality, the vague term used by this person, which is a kind of beginning point of some sort of religious belief, of seeing something beyond ourselves, our own immediate selfish concern in the material world. But this is not Christianity. Spirituality is not Christianity. And Jesus makes the claim that belief and faith in him alone is the only route to eternal life. He makes many claims on our minds. He claims to be God. He claims to have a connection to God. He tells us that he is the only way and there is no other. This is the claim he makes. He tells us that in the cross our sins are forgiven. He talks about sin. He says in the cross our sins are forgiven. He says he rose from the dead, something else no one else has ever done in history, and that by following him and his teachings, we will be remade as persons in his image, which is what he means by sonship. More important, he offers us a very high ethical standards, almost impossible to fulfill, such as loving our neighbor as ourselves without the possibility of return from that person. He commands us to give away our goods and live in poverty. He tells us the poor and poor in spirit are blessed. He tells us the meek will inherit the earth. He says many, many things that are almost impossible ethical demands to fulfill, such as loving our neighbor as ourselves without the possibility of return from that person. He commands us to give away our goods and live in poverty. He tells us the poor and poor in spirit are blessed. He tells us the meek will inherit the earth, and that to look at he says that to look at a woman with lust is to commit adultery. He says to be angry is to murder. He offers us unconditional love and also tells us that in the end there will be a judgment in which we will either gain eternal life with him and have eternal joy and happiness or suffer eternal death. He tells us to look at a woman with lust is to commit adultery, raising the moral standard unbelievably. He says that if we're angry, we are murdering someone. Again, he raises the bar, the ethical bar, very greatly. He offers us unconditional love. And more important, to understand this, he offers us love and grace, but he also tells us we must understand that in the end there will be a judgment in which we will either gain eternal life with him and have eternal joy and happiness or suffer eternal death. He tells us that in his sacrifice on the cross, he has ended our broken and twisted relationship with God and brought us back into the relationship that we had lost. He says there'll be a judgment which will either gain eternal life with him and eternal joy and happiness or suffer eternal death. He tells us that in his sacrifice on the cross, he has ended our broken and twisted relationship with God and brought us back into the relationship we had lost. He tells us that a life devoted to self and material enrichment is a mistake. He makes it clear it's a mistake. He makes clear that materialism and self-love is a big mistake. He tells us the object of life is to serve and not to gain power or material goods over other people. He makes it clear what his standards are. And he has ended our broken and twisted relationship with God and brought us back into the relationship we had lost. He tells us that a life devoted to self and materialism is a mistake. He shows us the object of life is to serve and not to gain power over others. In short, I have to say, ladies and gentlemen, I take issue with my neighbor and many others that the Christian religion or any religion is to be reduced, if not watered down, to some vague notion of the spiritual or spirituality. So I take issue with that neighbor that I spoke to in front of the church that the Christian religion or any religion is to be reduced, if not watered down, to some vague notion of the spiritual. That is a weak, meaningless statement in thinking, and the use of this term is to cover weak, meaningless thinking. Spirituality is nonsense. Jesus is the way. He says he's the way. That is the way our religion, the Christian religion, works. Not with spirituality, but with Christ. And to speak of spirituality is to reduce religion to a watered down, some vague notion of the spiritual, which is weak, meaningless thinking. And the use of the term spiritual is weak, meaningless thinking. It allows for religious belief to be shaped and to emerge not from a deep and profound thinking, but from some sort of feeling good about yourself and others, as implied by the use of the term spiritual. So really, that term allows for religious belief to be shaped and to emerge not from the depths of thought and profound thinking, but some sort of feeling good kind of thing about yourself and others. And the use of that term, spiritual, is to shape your life and in a certain direction, and that is not Christianity. Christianity is Christ and his commands, and his ethical standards, and his statement about himself that he is God. A person who adheres to Christ in the historical Christian faith, as usual, I part ways with the use of that term. Spiritual has no meaning and only serves to darken and mislead. At least for me, the creedal historical Christian faith involves a whole host of thoughts and thinking that represent 2,000 years of theological and philosophical development. So, what about spiritual? What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. Jesus is what means things, and his claim of to be God and the route to eternal life. The Christian religion is not to be reduced and watered down to some vague notion of the spiritual. That is weak, meaningless thinking. And the use of the term is to cover weak, meaningless thinking. It allows for religious belief to be shaped and emerge, not from deep and profound thinking and a relationship with Christ, but some sort of feeling good about yourself and others, being a nice guy. That's really what spiritual and spirituality involve and mean. Someone who's nice, sometimes we get along, and that's it. As I adhere not to spirituality, not to that vague nonsense, which means nothing. I adhere to the historical Christian faith, and I part ways with the use of a term spiritual, which has no actual meaning and only serves to mislead. At least for me, the creedal historical Christian faith involves a whole host of thoughts and thinking that represent 2,000 years of theological development. So what do I have to say? Spirituality, pretty meaningless, pretty weak-minded. Jesus is the strength of my faith, and he is the reality of the Bible. The writings of Augustine, Aquinas, Calvin, Luther, Bonhoeffer, and John Paul II, as well as John Bunyan, in his autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, go far beyond the vagueness and shallowness of spirituality. In short, the writings of St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, the writings of Calvin, Luther, Bonhoeffer, and John Paul II, as well as John Bunyan in Pilgrim's Progress and his great autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, go far, far beyond the vagueness and shallowness in confusing profound religious thinking with the coverall nonsense term of spirituality. I'm going to talk about this again, I think, tomorrow night to clarify it more, but I hope you've gained some insight as to what I've said here, and I think you'll find that Christ and his demands, his ethical demands, and his claim to be God are not a matter of spirituality. They are not some kind of weak-minded term, to cover a coverall weak-minded term that means nothing and covers everything. Hope you've enjoyed this talk, and I'll be talking again tomorrow night. Good night.